This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Whether to extend or not, that is the TARP question.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Reports this morning are the Obama administration will announce an extension of the $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program. We're joined by Ashley Milne-Tite with us from the Marketplace New York Bureau this morning. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Steve.
Remind us what the original purpose of TARP was.
So TARP was set up to help out the banks. That $700 billion was meant to go to bolstering financial institutions that hit trouble during the financial crisis. Ultimately, it helped out a number of other companies as well. But the program, it was meant to expire at the end of this year. Expire meaning in this case that it wouldn't pay any new money out. So in other words, even if it had money left over that it hadn't yet lent, it would not be able to lend that money after December 31st. So what the government wants to do by extending TARP is continue to lend money out of those funds through October of next year.
And what do they intend to do with that money?
Well, what they'll probably do with it is use it at least in part to fund jobs programs. The administration's made clear it's very concerned about the 10% unemployment rate. They'd really like to see that rate drop. And there's $140 billion of TARP money that hasn't even been allocated yet that could go towards jobs programs. And also, banks are repaying their TARP loans faster than a lot of people expected. So the government could have quite a bit of money to work with.
All right. Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Ashley, thanks.
You're welcome.
Shares have swung higher in Europe this morning, under a quarter of a percent there. That's despite Greece's debt problems. Investors are doing a lot of dumping of Greek bank shares. Asian markets were mostly off today. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P lost a percent. The Dow closed down about 104 points at 10,285. And oil rose above 73 bucks a barrel in Asia. If negotiators at the United Nations Climate Change Summit reach an agreement on global warming, it'll be a testament to their ability to digest a flood of statistics. There are so many figures floating around the conference, in fact, that some people are getting a little confused about it. As Stephen Beard reports from Copenhagen, it helps to have a head for numbers.
3, 2, 1, and the first place winner is Ukraine again. The Ukraine, what is happening?
This is a group of environmental campaigners. Each day they award the title Fossil of the Day to the country with the least ambitious target for cutting their carbon emissions. Today, Ukraine has swept the board.
Ukraine's target sounds good, a 20% reduction from 1990 levels. But what that actually means is a 75% increase from current levels.
Confused? Spare a thought for the climate change negotiators. They're haggling over a plan to cut emissions by 80%, while the Americans are offering 17%, and China is pledging a 40 to 45% carbon intensity target. Got it? In Copenhagen, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
AOL officially splits from Time Warner today. The online company is trying to reinvent itself, offering new services, even a new logo. For a lot of people, AOL was an introduction to email, but a lot's changed, and they're hoping a new image helps them to move the product forward. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
A few months ago, I started getting emails from friends and colleagues saying they were switching their email from Yahoo or Hotmail to Gmail. That's Google. I have a Yahoo address. Do they know something I don't? Is my email sending its own message about me? Duke University marketing professor Ken Wilber says, yes.
It's like your haircut or the designer of the shirt that you're wearing. It's something that people notice, and it's part of the package.
I needed to know more, so I turned to Delassie Michalis. He's Marketplace's web developer, and he thinks about these kinds of things.
As soon as somebody says that they're, you know, so-and-so at earthlink.net or hotmail.com, it's an oh my God moment. Do you know what the internet is? Yahoo is like, okay. And then if you're Gmail, you're like, I can take you seriously.
What about AOL?
You said AOL. Wow. Is it still around? I mean, I can't believe it's still around.
Had my AOL email account for a little over 15 years.
Bert Flickinger is the managing director of the Strategic Resource Group. He tells retailers how to market things to young shoppers. What do clients say when he gives them his email?
When I give them an AOL email address, they say, I can't believe you're still on AOL. And I say, well, it's simple. I have one of the original addresses with no numbers, so it's easier for you to type.
There are 50 million Flickingers out there. Hotmail has 200 million users, Yahoo 260 million. Gmail is gaining on them, but 500 million people can't be uncool. Still, it's not about numbers, says Duke University's Ken Wilber. He says an email address is part of your brand, and if you're looking for a job or networking, the wrong address can make you look out of touch.
I really like to think about it as sort of the cardstock that you print your business cards on. You know, if you are out there looking for a job, then it certainly is something you want to think about in terms of what kind of image you're projecting.
So if you think your email address needs to send a new message, might be time to tell the old one
goodbye.
In Los Angeles at gmail.com, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, the people at research company Pantone supply and track color for fashion and home decor. This year's chosen color was Mimosa Yellow. Their choice for 2010? Turquoise. They say the bluish-green color reminds people of being at a resort on vacation. Items from eyeshadow to cookware will likely feature the new color. Well, it's not new color. Fashion designs are using words like invigorating and transporting to describe it. Tommy Hilfiger loves the hue on women, but says men should stick to light or dark blues. Fashion note taken. Hey, check us out online at marketplace.org. What's your favorite color? Talk about the economics of the world, the recession too, all that at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.